Look on Zeb's face said that he might have a clue about it.
You know who she's talking about, don't you?
His jaw worked for several seconds before he finally spoke.
I didn't think he'd go back for him. But it shouldn't surprise me either, I guess, given their relationship. I'm extremely curious where they're hiding him, as he doesn't blend. At all. Ever.
I can't imagine where they would put him that he wouldn't attract a lot of attention, in either form. Well, aren't we, Mr. Dark and Cryptic? Shall we call him? Nick pulled out his phone.
I doubt he knows how to work that. I'm sure he'd sniff it and eat it if you gave him one.
He glanced at Simi.
Do you know where they're keeping him?
She nodded like a bobblehead.
You know how Akri Caleb's house is up off the ground and got all that room under it for storage?
Caleb screwed his face up. Oh, dear gods, he's in my wine cellar? Seriously? She kept nodding. Caleb groaned irritably.
I'm thinking I should have made up with my brother sooner and moved him into my house to watch the puka.
He glanced from Simi to Zev and back again.
What kind of mutant life form do I have living in my cellar? And do I need to fumigate my house? He doesn't particularly stink unless you get him wet. But you might want to spray for fleas and ticks. And he does like to chew on things. He's a feral Conanan, with an extremely heavy emphasis on the feral part. As in, he makes Zavid look like a hand-fed Pomeranian. Back in the day, he was Aaron's primary general. They're a scary pair when they get together. And whatever you do, don't give them alcohol of any kind, in any quantity. You liquor them up, and that, my friends, is what really happened to the Picts. All of them. And why the Romans never got over Hadrian's Wall.
Oh, goody. You must be having a ball in New Orleans, chasing down all the lost and blackened souls and unchristened people here. Zev laughed.
No doubt.
So why's he here? Nick asked.
You shall have to ask Aaron.
Crossing his arms over his chest, Zev sighed.
But she's right. He will hunt him down and get him back. And if Aaron didn't go of his own volition, I wouldn't want to be that guy when Kazil lays fang to him. He is a battle con, fiercely loyal, trained by Skothok, the Lady Shadow herself at her home fortress. And I can tell you from personal experience, he's a pistol load of fun.
Can't wait to meet him, Nick said with a fake amount of enthusiasm. All right, everybody, let's go get Scooby. When Jaden started after them, both Zev and Caleb faced him with questioning brows raised. He returned their stares with an equal amount of unspoken defiance written in his expression.
Where do you think you're going?
They asked in perfect unison. Jaden blinked nonchalantly.
With you. Why? I have a vested interest in how this plays out.
Since when? Even though Caleb had spoken the question, Jaden cut a killer stare to Zev.
Since the day I sold myself into slavery to save the life of your son. Contrary to what you think, I didn't betray you. I was trying to save you both.
With a slack jaw, Zev staggered back in disbelief. It was the same sensation Nick felt at that unexpected disclosure.
You knew about Jared,
Zev whispered.
Of course I knew. How stupid do you think I am? I knew it the moment I first held him in my arms. Yet you never said anything. Why? The same reason you didn't. It would have destroyed both Jared and Myoni.
Agony burned deep in Jaden's eyes. But beneath that was a deep, undeniable love. It was obvious that he did care about his sons and their well-being, that he wasn't the heartless ogre they accused him of being.
In spite of what you and Caleb think, I've always loved you both. You were my sons. I just can't trust the blood inside you. I know the call it makes, how hard it is to resist. What do you think the Verlin is? An unstoppable force I have no control over. Forget the blood of your mothers. You both have that beast inside you.
Zev shook his head. I still don't understand.
What? That I loved him as my own? That I protected him and raised him in my home? Yeah. Let's start with that, given how much you always hated me.
Jaden winced.
Not trusting you isn't the same as hating you. You never could understand that. And I never asked to be at war with you, but every time I tried to reach out, you looked at me as if you could go through me, as if you wouldn't hesitate to cut my throat, and if I ever gave you the chance, you did betray me. So yeah, I've been cold in response to what I've felt. That's my nature. I never knew what to do with either of you, given your attitudes. Ironic, isn't it? My greatest fear was that your mother would use you to control me. Instead, it was your child that put me under her thumb completely. Had I done right by you and embraced you as the father you needed me to be when you were born, I wouldn't be forced to serve her now. Jared wouldn't be enslaved, and we wouldn't have lost this war. I screwed everything up because I was blind and afraid.
Nick stepped back as those words echoed in his head and smacked eerily of what both Ambrose and Acheron had said to him.
We manifest our worst fears.
They turned to stare at him. Sorry, I didn't mean to intrude on your moment. I was just thinking over something Acheron said about how the worst things in his life happened because someone tried to circumvent his destiny. Had they just left it alone and allowed it to play out as it was intended, he and the world would have been a lot better off. Rubbing his hand over his face as he grappled with that, he glanced at Cody. Is that the key to this? Should we stop trying to fix it? Just let it run as it's meant to? But even as he asked the question, Nick knew it wasn't that simple. Not when the cost of doing nothing meant his mother would die. Maybe that was selfish. The world or his mother. If you were to ask anyone, they'd choose the world. To them, the choice would be simple. One life for billions. Yet his mother was his world. And he was willing to sacrifice a billion strangers to save her, because living out his life, knowing there was a chance he could have prevented her murder and didn't at least try, he understood the source of Ambrose's madness. God help him for that. Cody wrapped her arms around his waist and leaned her head against his shoulder. I know, Nick. I do. Remember, I chose you. Woman, you chose poorly. Laughing, she kissed his cheek. Let's find Aaron, and we'll work on this puzzle once we have more pieces.
He liked that plan.
Okay. As we all know, procrastination is my middle name.
The Seamy thought it was Ambrosius.
He laughed at her baffled tone.
Ambrosius procrastinatius. She pursed her lips.
That'd be as hard to say as Parthenopeus. How you fit all that on your driver's license?
Very carefully and with a lot of practice. Winking at Seamy, Nick teleported to Caleb's huge, sprawling mansion of a house. He popped into the living room and was quickly joined by the rest of his crew. He didn't move as he waited for all of them to appear. Though to be honest, it was eerily quiet like this. Nick had never been over when there wasn't loud, obnoxious music playing or demons attacking. So, he cocked a brow at Seamy once everyone was there. Where do we find this mysterious hellhound?
Follow me.
Caleb led them to the kitchen where the cellar door was. He passed an annoyed glance at Seamy and Nick over his shoulder. I'm really hoping my house guest wasn't so inconsiderate as to invite a guest of his own. But I'm thinking I've been played. Turning on the light and opening the door, Caleb headed down the narrow spiral stairs. They followed him into the cellar, which was an illusion since it was technically the first floor of the house, built with tiny windows where they used to keep perishables back in the day before they had real refrigeration. At first, it didn't appear anyone was here. But as they neared the southern corner, there was no mistaking the presence of something highly powerful attempting to mask itself. The air literally crackled with the paranormal static of emanating power. Most creatures wouldn't be able to detect it. The Malachi wasn't most. Whatever was there lit up every bit of his psychic sense and had it singing a soprano chorus. Nothing could hide from Nick's breed. Or Jaden, apparently. He stiffened and reached out to stop his sons. "Don't move." Nick heard the subtle growl off to his right. It was low and powerful, and only registered on the demonic plane. Yet it was enough to let him know that the beast was ready to come for his throat. The sound rippled in the air like low, thrumming thunder, with enough energy that he had no doubt the growl alone could be weaponized.
"What exactly are these things again?"
"Watch and learn, Akri Nick. The Seamie will show you."
She flounced around him to kneel a few feet away.
"Here, Akri Kazir. No one gonna hurt you. The Seamie promises, and you knows you can banks it all day long."
Clicking her tongue, she held her hand out. The growling subsided. A slight rustle sounded before the largest wolf Nick had ever seen came out of the shadows.
"Holy mother of God!"
Nick involuntarily crossed himself. If he'd had holy water, he'd have flung it at him, too. Not that he thought it'd do any good, just for good measure. As it was, Nick could barely refrain from holding up two fingers in the sign of the cross against the beast. Yeah, it was that scary. Give him a demon, a hell monkey, anything over this monstrous thing. Even on four legs, it had to be over 4.5 feet tall from paws to haunches. Completely snow white, he was all muscled, sinew, and furry beast. That would be scary enough. Add to that unholy blood-red ears and matching demonic glowing flame-red eyes and fangs that showed even when he closed his mouth, and yeah, that wouldn't blend on the street no matter what you tried, especially given that every other breath shot flames out of his muzzle. What it would do, though, was give you nightmares to send you to a psych ward, especially if you were dumb enough to try and tell anyone what you'd seen.
"What did they use those for again?"
Nick asked, in a voice that came out a lot squeakier and in a much higher octave than he'd intended, one that sounded like he hadn't quite reached puberty yet. Yeah, it had just sucked out a whole level of testosterone he wanted back. Zev stepped around his father.
"Messengers of the gods. They guarded the gates of Annan. Were sent to hunt down the Dark Ones and children of Lyr and unchristened souls. They were also used by the gods in battle. It was said anyone who heard their baying would die. So in a way, they were like banshees."
Nick cleared his throat and intentionally dropped it an octave before he spoke again.
"And the gates of Annan are what?"
"Their underworld."
Zev moved slowly toward Kaziel.
"You remember me, old friend."
The way he eyed Zev with those freaky, glowing eyes, Nick half expected him to take a bite out of him. But he held himself perfectly still as Zev approached him to present his hand so that Kaziel could sniff the back of his fist. Only then did he shift to his human form. Crouched low in jeans and a black leather jacket, he unfolded himself slowly to emerge as an even more impressively giant, muscled beast. Nick crossed himself again, though this time he did manage to withhold the verbal expletives, yet he still exchanged a wide-eyed, gaping stare with Cody. Standing a good 2 inches taller than Nick, Kaziel had long, pale blonde hair that fell to his shoulders. Tiny braids interlaced with beads and feathers held it back from his face. That wasn't the non-blending part so much as the facial tattoos that curved from his chin up and over his cheeks like tusks to come to a sharp point under eyes so light and green they glowed with an ethereal fey light. There was also an additional tattoo in the center of his forehead that appeared to be the stylized symbol of some god. More Celtic bird-like tattoos that were almost identical in form to the ones on the Dark Hunter Talon covered the left side of his well-muscled torso beneath his leather motorcycle jacket. And none of that took in his lethal aura that said, "Yeah, I'm an ancient warrior who can kick your butt and not care. Nick frowned. Are those symbols for the Morrigan? Snarling, Kazeel started for him, but Zev caught him and forced him back. It's okay, Kaz. Over his shoulder, he scowled at Nick.
How do you know that? You never know that kind of thing.
Talon of the Morrigantes. He has markings like that in the same place on his body. He's also an ancient Celt, and though his hair is short, he has similar braids, too. That seemed to calm Kazeel. Zev released him.
In the case of Kazeel, his have to do with Bran the Blessed. And the sun marks him as being aligned to the children of Dawn.
Cody pursed her lips. I thought she was a moon goddess, like Artemis.
But aligned to the side of light.
So he's like us, Caleb said.
A creature torn between light and dark. Zev nodded.
Born of both sides. Forever lured between them. Never trusted by either. And cursed by both.
That explains it. Jaden scowled.
Explains what?
Caleb gave his father a cold grimace. Why he hides in the cellar. And they get along. Then he turned to Kazeel.
Nice meeting you, brother. Welcome to the family. We should start making t-shirts.
Without a word of comment on that, Kazeel stepped away from Zev to approach Cody. She slid an uncomfortable look to Nick, who didn't like the sudden light in those creepy green eyes as Kazeel circled her. Yeah, he didn't need his powers to guess what thoughts were in the horned dog's mind. Before either of them realized what Kazeel intended, he stepped closer to Cody and nuzzled his face against her hair.
Okay, Nick snapped. Dude, enough of that. She's my girl, and you don't go sniffing on other guys' girls. I don't know about the time and place you come from, but it's considered rude here.
When Nick closed the distance between them, Kazeel growled at him. Nick didn't flinch or back down.
Check the attitude at the door, because I'm about to open up some fresh whoop-ass.
We don't need to escalate this to violence. Cody wrapped her hands in Nick's baggy shirt and attempted to push him back a bit, only to learn he had no intention of budging. I'm sure he didn't realize he was trespassing.
Does he speak?
Nick asked Zev.
Can and does are two different things.
Meaning?
Yes, he can speak. He just seldom chooses to do so.
And I can respect that, just as I'm sure Lassie can respect the fact that Cody is my girl. And while I try not to be that jealous boyfriend, it is purely a self-serving act I put on so as not to offend her. Inside, I am that jealous boyfriend, and any public pawing of said girlfriend is subject to an uncontrollable fit of rage I may or may not be able to stop, hence the uncontrollable previously promised ass-whooping.
Cody shook her head and sighed. You really are a basic cave-dwelling beast, aren't you?
Sure, you're lucky my knuckles don't drag across the floor when I walk.
He winked at her. Jaden scowled.
He is not like the other Malachis, is he?
Caleb clapped his father on the back.
We blame your screwed-up genes on this all the way around.
He wrinkled his nose.
Can't wait to find and meet the next generation of screwed-up.
Zev snorted.
Ain't that the truth?
A hurt look passed over Cody's face. I know I can't be the mother. I'm too young. Nick bit his lip.
As a Malachi, I have the power to look ahead and see who his mother is, right?
Jaden nodded.
I wouldn't advise it.
Caleb met his gaze.
Zev concurred.
I'm going to weigh in with my brother and Asheron. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, maybe. But for now, Kazeel, we have a problem. Aaron went missing, and we can't find him.
His green eyes darkened to the same red they were in his wolf form. No, that wasn't spooky or creepy at all, not even a little.
His breathing intensified.
Was he attacked, like?
Oh, yeah. Now there was a thick, almost unintelligible Welsh accent. It made Aaron's seem bland. We don't know. I sent him to watch Cody, and he never made it. Reddish-orange flames radiated from his entire body. His tattoos turned red.
Zev? Is that normal?
Yes.
When Kaziel started to turn around, Zev caught his arm and stopped him.
Where is he?
Nether realm. Rather, he's being held to lure the Malachi.
Jaden let out a tired sigh.
I'll get him and Zavid and return them.
The color drained from both Caleb's and Zev's faces.
We can't let you do that.
Like you really care. Besides, if any of you go in there, Noir and Azora will know. No one will notice me.
Why would you do this?
Caleb searched Jaden's features with his gaze.
I'm your father.
Now you get paternal?
Jaden shrugged nonchalantly.
I've always been an asshole. Take after my son.
Wait.
Zev approached him slowly.
You never told us your price for helping us.
Tears welled in Jaden's eyes.
I got to see my boys again.
His gaze went to Nick.
Find out that I have a great-grandson. And you gave me something I haven't had in countless centuries.
What?
Zev breathed.
Hope. I don't need anything else. You know what they're going to do to you when you return.
He shrugged nonchalantly.
What they do to me has never bothered me.
What has always pissed me off is that one by one, all three of you threw away the freedom I bought for you with my blood and soul by chaining yourselves to my enemies because you were too damn hard-headed to listen.
A tick started in his jaw as he hesitantly held his hand out to Zev.
I know sorry can't even begin to repair the damage I've done to either of you. The mistakes I made were never done for spite or out of cruelty. And if I could bring back Mayani or Liliana, I would.
Pain radiated so deep in Zev's hazel eyes that it choked Nick as he took his father's hand and he pulled him in for a hug.
Thank you for coming.
Jaden didn't speak, but Nick wished Zev could see the anguish on his face as he held him and fisted his hand in his hair, hair that turned black, and before he released him, he kissed his brow, turning his eyebrows black as well. Nick met Caleb's shocked expression, but neither of them said a word as Jaden turned toward Caleb.
Stay out of the line of fire.
And you.
Jaden held his hand out to Caleb. Tears swam in Caleb's eyes before he took his hand, and they embraced. Then, in a bright flash of light, Jaden was gone. Caleb choked on a sob.
You worthless bastard,
he growled, wiping at his eyes. Zev cleared his throat.
Kaziel, could you please go with him and help him free Aaron?
Kaziel placed a brotherly hand on Zev's shoulder before he vanished.
You sure you don't want me to...
No!
They shouted in unison.
Okay,
Nick said, holding his hands up in surrender. At least that broke their melancholia. Caleb manifested a small hand mirror for Zev and held it up for him to see.
Thought you'd want to know.
He gasped as he saw himself whole for the first time in hundreds of thousands of years.
Why would he lift this portion of the curse?
No idea. The others will kill him when they find out. Smiling, Cody walked over to him.
You look so strange like this. I'll miss the old you.
He laughed at her words.
You're the only one who felt that way.
Charisse, too.
He lowered the mirror.
My two, Adelim.
Cupping her cheek in his hand, he kissed her forehead.
Treasure her, Nick. Those who judge only by the heart are far too rare in this world.
Believe me.
I know.
Nick paused, as a bad feeling went through him.
You okay?
Not really. He still felt odd. Weird feeling just went through me.
Weird feeling how?
Before Nick could speak, a searing pain exploded inside him and drove him to his knees. Chapter 14. Jaden fell back as he manifested near Noir's main bank of special rooms where he kept his most hated guests. He was rather sure his name was engraved on the door of the room at the far end of the hall, as was Seth's. Guilt wrenched his gut as he paused by that door and did his best not to think of the horrors that were visited daily upon its occupant, and the fact that there was nothing he could do to spare the demigod his eternal suffering. All because of Adarian Malachi. And because of him. He had so much to atone for. Wrongs made against others for things he'd thought were the right reasons at the time. But with perspective of age and distance, Jaden regretted so much of his existence. Yet nothing weighed on him as much as the gulf that divided him from his own children and the wretched fates that were theirs because of his own failure to protect them. It wasn't like he hadn't tried. That was the bitterest pill of all. Like his sister Apollyme, he'd done everything he could to spare them from the cruelty of others. Sacrificed everyone he'd ever loved and everything he'd ever cherished. And what had it gotten him? Hated, damned to hell, imprisoned and tortured for untold centuries. He'd once been a primary power of the earth, a fierce, feared primordial god. And now he was reduced to being nothing more than the punchline of jokes bandied about by slug demons, or worse. A broker for lesser beings to summon, so that they could commune with the brother and sister he hated beyond tolerance or measure. A brother and sister he'd done his best to destroy the moment they'd been spat out of the farting abyss of darkness itself. Life was never what you planned for, never what you thought. And he was so tired of being sucker-punched by it. But this wasn't about him and his weary, eternal journey. He'd let his children down enough. For once, he would be there for them. As he moved forward, he felt a powerful presence behind him. Jaden turned, ready to battle. Yet to his utmost shock, it wasn't one of the revolting, shattered, and twisted souls that called this hell realm home. It was Kaziel.
"What are you doing here?"
"I'm your reinforcement, like."
"Did they not trust me?"
Kaziel snorted at his question.
"They were worried."
And with that, he changed into his dire wolf form. Much more touched than he wanted to admit, Jaden took a moment to savor the miracle that had sent the wolf to him. All he ever remembered was fighting with his children. Hurtful, bitter words that cut straight through the heart and seared their very souls. He was as guilty of it as they were. Whatever fool had penned the nonsense that words could do no harm should be condemned to Tophet's lowest fiery pit. For they did far more damage than mere broken bones that eventually healed. Furious, hate-filled words spoken by a loved one left bleeding gashes that no amount of time or apology ever masked. The slightest frown or look could rip the scabs open and begin the bleeding anew, as if no amount of time had passed at all from the initial injury. Yet the most amazing thing about love was how willing you could be to let the very one who hurt you the most, who cut you deeper than anyone ever had, back into your life. To do it again. That stupid trust was what he hated most. For his sons alone, he was willing to be the greatest fool ever spawned, even when they hated him. "I am a pathetic slug." Sighing, he headed for the cell most likely to contain Noir's latest catch. Kaziel veered off unexpectedly.
"What are you doing?"
Jaden asked between clenched teeth. He shot fire from his snout as he lifted it to sniff at the air. Bemused, Jaden watched as the wolf turned around to sniff at several different corridors. "Kaziel?"
"Erlon,
isn't here alone.
Those whispered words in his head gave him pause.
What do you mean? Are you talking about Zavid or Manyara?
He shook his head. Too late. Jaden realized who else was here. Gorach Iribin, the Hag of the Robin, better known as Noir's alarm system. His number one tattletale, who lived to report everything to the old bastard. Crap. Tall and thin, she was a ghost-like wraith who functioned like an Irish bean sith. Dressed in black rags, she had long, stringy red hair and dark eyes and lips. As with Kaziel, she had a tattoo in the center of her forehead. Only hers was more of a dark, elongated star than the open sun symbol that marked his brow. And just as she opened her mouth to let fly her banshee scream, Kaziel launched himself at her, transforming from wolf to man. He wrapped his arms around her and slapped his hand over her mouth to keep her from making that horrendous sound she was known for. He breathed calmly in her ear to hold her tight against his chest.
You let fly yours, love. I'll let fly mine. And we'll both have bleeding ears. And I know you don't be wanting any of that now.
Kaziel?
Aye.
What the bloody Sithril are you doing here?
I've come to fetch Aaron. You're not going to be getting in my way now, are you, boyo? I'd hate to be hurting you. After what all we've been through together, like. But I won't be letting sentimental stop me from protecting me, Penlord. You get me away, like, and I will be hurting you. Friendship to be damned.
Aaron? Here? Are you mithered or drunk?
Neither.
Jaden was having the hardest time following this bizarre exchange, never mind the fact that their Welsh was thick, and they were technically speaking English, which up until now he would have sworn he was fluent in, but...
You two know each other?
And that got Riven's attention on him, which turned out to be a bad, bad thing as she started for him like Cujo after fresh meat. Kaziel picked her up and swung her about.
None of that. He'd be friendly like.
Now you're all cocky-headed for sure. You're as addled as me die after Cordelia's face. Now put me down, you brute, or I'll take from your riding me making myself new, white, fairy boots.
Nay, I won't be having none of it now. Stop your fussing, Ribbon. I mean it.
Ribbon bared her jagged, grey, bony fangs.
Really?
Kaziel laughed in a mocking tone.
You think to scare me with that patheticness of yours? What? You gonna wash your clothes at the creek now and cry about it, too?
You're such a bleeding arse.
I come by it honestly, I do.
Ribbon pointed at Jaden.
He'll be the one what turns you in. Mark me words on that.
He's a low-lying, worthless piece of work what can't be trusted no further than what you can toss him. And you can't even pick his giant arse up. Be that as it may, I was sent here to protect him. And you know, I will. Och, duh. You were ever half-soaked, boyo. From your first breath to your last, never be changing your ways. Most likely not. Now we'll be helping, or are we to keep talking?
She spoke in fast, furious, demonic Welsh that questioned Jaden's parentage as well as Kaziel's, and all his sense, both common and otherwise. Finally, Ribbon calmed.
Of course I'll be helping you. What kind of monster you'd be thinking I am? But swear you'll be getting me out of here too.
Kaziel scowled.
How is it you're here, even?
Was captured and traded.
Tilting his head, Kaziel looked at Jaden.
Can I be taking him from here? Would that be allowed?
Why do you keep calling her a him?
He looked at Jaden, as if he were the daft one.
What, are you blind? Raven's a man.
Jaden swept a skeptical glance over the lush curves of her body. While he'd never seen her naked.
You sure about that?
Ribbon rolled her eyes. Kaziel bit back a laugh.
Aye, indeed. He was cursed into that body after he broke the heart of a woman, and she killed herself for him. Now he's forever damned to walk the earth in her very image, and cry out for the souls of those about to die, to warn others that they will lose what they hold dearest. Oh, that's harsh.
Reuben ground his teeth.
You've no idea. It weren't even me fault. She preyed upon me until I was near mad with her tensions. The lass was unhinged.
Gesturing at himself, he sighed.
And this was her final vengeance upon me. So make sure I'd never have another woman, ever. I'd have rather she turn me into a goat, to be honest.
He turned to Kaziel.
And one smart word from you, man, and you'll be getting it kicked from a woman, you hear me?
He held his hands up in surrender, but his eyes twinkled with unspoken humor.
So, I take it then that the Robin is short for Robert?
Revan Thee,
they said in unison. Jaden felt the urge to say bless you, but he refrained from saying more as he led them toward the room where Aaron should be found.
You know, Kaziel, for someone who couldn't talk, you sure found your tongue.
Kaziel returned to his wolf form.
He's only silent around those he doesn't know or trust.
Apparently.
Jaden didn't miss the way Riven kept one hand buried in Kaziel's white fur, as if afraid the Con Annan would leave him. They stopped as Jaden passed a door and heard the sound of Noir's voice coming from inside the dungeon room.
How can I be weakening? We know who the Malachi is. I sent my siphon. How can I be weaker?
It must be something Cam did to protect him. She's been soft toward their bloodline since the day we demanded the life of Kisari for his sacrilege.
Noir snorted.
Longer than that. She's wanted our deaths since the hour of birth. But for Braith, we'd have never survived the other three gods. And well you know it. They'd have wiped us out centuries ago.
Someone stumbled and hit the ground.
Kadar!
Jaden froze as Azura used Noir's oldest name. It had to be bad for her to make that slip. And for Noir to allow her to get away with it. No one was allowed to call him Kadar. To call the Dark Ones by name gave you power over them. It allowed you to bind them. Most importantly, it allowed you to banish them. Hence why Noir and Azura were currently imprisoned in the Asmodea, a nether realm that existed between dimensions, forever held out of time and place by Zev's blood. There had been a time when this plane had been readily accessible by regular portals, but that was long ago, before war and punishments.
I need you to summon Thorn,
Noir groaned.
He won't feed you. You know that.
Yes, he will. Or we will war. More to the point, I will war against his child, and that he won't tolerate. Tell him he has 1 hour before I open my gates on Cadogan.
Jaden's mind spun over what Noir was saying. Noir, like Nick, was weakened, drained. Could it be from the same source? A Malachi would strengthen Noir, not weaken him. He always got a huge boost whenever a new Malachi came on board or rose. Those raw, untapped powers added to his. Nothing should be able to drain them both simultaneously. It made no logical sense. There was no such creature or device that would do that. No sooner had that thought gone through his head than a phantom wind whistled down the hallway with enough force that it slammed him into the wall and pinned him there. Kaziel and Riven were slammed and held across from him. That was Azura leaving this area to carry out her orders. And it allowed him a chance to see Noir's condition firsthand. Pale and shaking, the ancient god was on his back, flat on the ground. Jaden had never seen him like this, not even in battle. Azura was right to be terrified. This was abnormal. The things that could do this to a god of their magnitude were few and far between. The Malachi was one of them, and he wasn't here.
Nor would Nick know how without being shown. Jared would be the other, and he wasn't here either. The two of them had specific weapons that they wielded with their powers to lay low the primals. But those had either been destroyed or were well hidden in the world of man so long ago that no one had seen them in centuries, provided they still existed. And Jaden ought to know, as he'd been searching for them as a way to gain his freedom. They were some of the few things he'd give a demon anything for, break any rule to possess. But so far, demons were a worthless lot.
"What are you staring at?"
The doors slammed shut in his face, and they were freed from whatever was holding them immobile. Thankfully, Azora was preoccupied and didn't consider them enough of a threat to think them behind this. That alone saved their lives. Jaden straightened his clothes with a tug as he met Kaziel's gaze.
"This is bad. If Grimm and Laguerre have found a way to kill Noir, they could unravel the fabric of the universe."
Jaden nodded. In anyone's hands, that kind of power was scary in and of itself, but what truly terrified him was the fact that those two creatures were stupid enough to actually do it and not care about the consequences. That's what war and death were, indiscriminate killers, without regard to the past, present, or future. They cared for nothing and no one, respected nothing and no one. They could not be reasoned with. And while death was inevitable for everyone, war was not. It could be stopped and extinguished. Both could be thwarted, avoided, and delayed. That was what they had to do. Avoid and delay them for as long as they could, and to put Laguerre down as soon as they could. Preferably before she got her hands on Nick. Or Nick's son, whoever he was. Determined, Jaden picked up their pace as he rushed to find Aaron. True to his prediction and gut instinct, they found Aaron in the holding cells. And as expected, he wasn't alone. Kaziel started for him, but Jaden caught him.
"You go in there, and you get him killed."
"He's right, love."
Riven released her grip on Kaziel.
"How do we distract him? Shall I ever go at it?"
Jaden shook his head.
"They'd attack you if you did and bring you down. No, for this, we'll need the big guns. But I don't have control. So once I do this, get him, get out, and don't worry over me. Understood?"
"What about Zavid?"
Riven scowled.
"The Hellhound?
You know him?"
"Oh, yeah. They've been having a time with him,"
Riven said bitterly.
"Grim is a twisted beast. Livia, even more so."
"He needs to return to the other side with Aaron and Kaziel."
"Easier said than done. That one is officially dead.
You know the rules about removing the dead from Asmodea."
Jaden laughed bitterly.
"Oh, sweetie, bringing the dead things back are what makes me so coveted."
Lowering his head, he summoned the Verlin that lay dormant inside him. He tapped the powers that had once ruled him, the powers he hated most. They were what had allowed him to harm his children. For where they ruled him, nothing else mattered. He had no heart or soul, no compassion. Like death, he couldn't be reasoned with or ran from. He was a creature of cold, callous rationale. The greater good was all that mattered. In this form, he would sacrifice anything for the world, even his own children. Cold comfort to know that his sons didn't really hate Jaden. It was the Verlin who curled their lips and filled their hearts with contempt. Because when all was said and done, he was the Verlin. And all those despicable things the Verlin did were by his hand, too. And when he wrenched the door from the hinges, the demons inside scurried like rats from a sinking ship. Aaron, however, even though he was bleeding and bruised and barely able to hold up his head, didn't flinch at his approach. Rather, the ancient god met his gaze as an equal.
"You don't scare or impress me. Take your theatrics and go. I've no use for you."
Jaden tisked.
"Since you're what I've come for, I can't be doing that."
Aaron was stunned silent as the primordial, ancient being reached for him. As an older god himself, he'd heard many tales of the primary ones, but he'd never met one before. He was not disappointed. 7 feet tall and extremely well-muscled, Verlaine was said to be the firstborn of them all, the oldest, most powerful, deadliest. Dressed in a long black coat with a high-standing collar that was trimmed in silver, silver that appeared to be stained by blood, the ancient god had shaved his head smooth to show off a wealth of dark, tawny skin. Symbols were tattooed down the center of his skull, culminating into a sharp point right between his eyes. His right eye was ringed with black, and from the bottom of it was another set of symbols that went down his cheek to his chin. The only color on his body was a splash of a bright green shirt he wore beneath the black coat, a vibrant green that matched the same color as his one single eye, while the other was a deep, dark brown. A deeply unnerving and unexpected contrast. With a terrifying ease, the god ripped off his manacles to free him. Aaron started to fight until he saw that Kaziel was with him.
Kaz? Oi, we've come to take you home.
We? Reuben stepped out of the shadows. Aaron was even more stunned by his presence here.
I don't understand.
Verlaine laid a gentle hand on his shoulder.
My sons have bought your freedom. Remember what you owe them, and treat them accordingly. Your sons? Darazerxes and Malphus.
Aaron choked on the last two names he'd ever expected to hear from the mouth of this god. Honestly, a part of him had thought Nick would have to be one of the sons. That would have made much more sense, but them? Why wouldn't Caleb and Zev have mentioned the fact their father was Verlaine? Now those were some bragging rights. Quickly, Verlaine led him from his cell. In the dark hallway, he paused to look back at Riven.
Where's this Zavid? In the arena?
Verlaine cursed.
Of course he is.
He clenched his teeth before he spoke again.
We'll have to move fast while Noir is incapacitated and Azura distracted by her errand. That at least works in our favor. But the minute they're not, you'll have to run for it, Zavid or no Zavid, understood?
They nodded. With that, he led them toward the arena. It was where Noir sent the souls of those he cared least about to be entertainment for others. All manner of violence was practiced here, gladiatorial blood sports being the most common. Aaron had no idea which might be the hellhound they sought, not until he heard the chanting that came from the current fight, where a dark-haired man wearing only a pair of ragged jeans was battling a demon. The man was ferocious and fought with the heart of a titan. He lifted the demon up, tossed him over his shoulder, and came down with a vicious body slam, so jarring Aaron winced in sympathetic pain. Even though they had yet to meet, he knew instinctively that this was the one Nick had saved. Glancing at his companions, he jerked his chin toward that fierce combatant and spoke to them for confirmation.
Zavid?
They nodded.
Oh, goody. He was going to be a fun one to wrangle. So how do we do this?
Well, we have to wait for...
Verlin's voice trailed off as Zavid ripped the still-beating heart from the demon's chest.
Never mind.
Aaron passed an impressed look to his friends.
I like him already.
Vaughn snorted irritably.
You would like. Oh, now with you. There's a time you would have too.
Aaron cocked his head back.
What are you doing here anyway?
Long story that.
Not in a mood for it. Buy me a frickin' veil and we'll talk now in a minute. All right then. Plan to hold you to that. And a full frickin' of this too, actually. One for each.
Verlaine made a face at their rapid-fire conversation.
At what point do you people start speaking English?
Vaughn snorted.
Fancy that one, eh? Well, the accent he has on him can't understand a single word he says half the time.
Aaron made a peculiar noise.
Just well you get around to Malachi's friends, Bubba and Mark. There's an accent for you. We'll make both ears bleed, and your noggin ache.
Suddenly, one of the demons turned toward them.
Too late, Aaron remembered he wasn't supposed to be out and about. Sadly, that particular demon hadn't forgotten. Before they could move, the demon cried out an alarm to his friends to attack them. Chapter 15. Nick slowly entered Manyara's small duplex, just in case there was a trap waiting. Which there was, but luckily it was her normal one that she had set to keep out the unfriendlies they normally had to fight. The walls lit up at his presence, activating the protection spells. Since he was known and not here to do harm, they slowly faded back to blend in with the paint. Turning on the lights, he allowed his friends to enter behind him. No one's been here. Cody bit her lip. Why would they attack the shop? It seems like she'd be stronger there than even here. Nick picked up an old photo of him with Manyara from his third birthday party, where he was sitting on her lap, wrapped in her arms. She'd kept it on her shelves as far back as he could remember. He had one identical to it in his own bedroom. Maybe because they could get in there. This is personal space. Evil can't enter here unless invited. The store's neutral ground, where the spells aren't as strong. They could get in and up close before she'd be alerted to what they really were. Yeah, I guess that's true. Cody wrapped her arms around herself as they looked about for clues. That action concerned him. Cody only did that when she was emotionally hurt and needing comfort. Nick set the picture down and drew her into his arms. You okay, Cher? She let out a shaky sigh. Tired of burying loved ones. It's just stirring bad memories. Nick flinched as her words awoke flashes in his own mind. He saw his future home and his mother. He staggered back from the image of her death and shook his head to clear it of an event that he couldn't bear to think about.
Whoa, Nick, you okay?
Yeah, another vision. I'm starting to wish I'd never touched that eye. Just reminds me why drugs are a bad idea. I can't stand this. Who in their right mind would intentionally do this to themselves? She rubbed his back, then frowned. You're burning up again. She placed her hand to his cheek. You feel all right? My hands are cold. Other than that, I'm fine. Cody took his hand into hers. That's not cold, it's Arctic. Caleb, feel this. Frowning, he stepped over and did as she asked. His jaw dropped. You're like a corpse. Suddenly, he heard whispering in the ether around him. Subtle and light, it was barely audible. Only his Malachi powers could detect it. The room and his friends faded. He was no longer in Manyara's home. He wasn't sure where he was. It was somewhere he didn't know, someplace he couldn't identify. Then he saw Asheron. No, not Ash. This man had short, curly blonde hair and blue eyes instead of Ash's swirling silver ones. But other than that, he was identical. Same towering 6'8" height, same athletic warrior's build. Dressed in black armor that was a cross between ancient Greek and futuristic Kevlar, he stormed inside a palace Nick had never seen before to face a gorgeous blonde woman. Her pale blonde hair glistened in the darkness. It was so dark here, as if no light could reach this place. Her gown was made of an ebony material so lightweight that it floated over her body like a cloud. She was the epitome of a regal queen, and yet power and fury emanated from her. When she turned to face him, she held the same swirling silver eyes of Asheron, and features that were the feminine version of both his and Styx's. What are you doing here? Her gaze went from him to the army of Caronte he'd brought with him. Asheron sent me to evacuate you. She laughed. Where? I can't leave. He knows this. Ambrose is opening a gate for you. He and Asheron are going to face Cyprian's forces. Her gaze softened as she swept his loyal body with her mercurial gaze. Where's your family? By their sides. Tears filled her eyes. I cannot believe we were so deceived. I will go
so that they can battle without worrying for me. But before I do...
She pulled at the chain around her neck until it dislodged a vial from between her breasts. Removing her necklace, she pressed it into Styx's hand.
Give this to Ambrose. Should they fail today, should he fall in battle, it will be imperative that he drink it before he dies. Tell him this. If he doesn't drink of it, we will all be lost.
I don't understand.
I know. This is a matter of trust, not understanding. All will be revealed in time. As with all things, it is never the enemy we see who destroys us. It is the one within we fail to notice, the one we trust who deals us the fatal blow.
She pulled Styx into her arms and held him. The agony in her eyes wrenched Nick's heart as she buried her fist in Styx's curls.
My precious boy, how I wish I were there for this battle to fight by your sides. I would drive them back to the corners of the universe and bathe in their entrails until I was blackened by their blood.
Styx laughed nervously.
Now you're frightening me, Matera.
With a devilish grin, she kissed his cheek and stepped back.
We've been through much, you and I, in all your lifetimes. Go, my mighty phoenix, and be the warrior I know you to be.
Nick? Blinking, Nick was forced away from the image of Apollyme and Styx. Was that real, or was he hallucinating again? It felt real. He pressed his hands to his temples as he struggled to breathe. It was impossible. Nothing felt real. Nothing felt right. His mind was snapping in two. Everything was wrong. He reached for her to anchor him. But not even that worked, as his breaths came in short, sharp gasps. His heart pounded in his ears. I'm going crazy, Cody. I don't know what's true anymore. Are these possible futures, the real future? What really happened? How do I know the difference in what I see? Zev caught him against his chest.
Breathe, Nick, he whispered in his ear. Slow. In and out.
He listened to Zev's soothing voice and followed his lead until he was calm again. Only then did Zev slacken his hold. Still shaky and wrecked, Nick drew a ragged breath.
Well, look who got all maternal suddenly.
Zev rolled his eyes.
It came with the new hairstyle.
But that wasn't true. There had always been a deep vulnerability to Zev, underneath that hate-filled, kill-em-all-at-God-sort-em-out mentality he projected to others. It was what had caused Nick to reach out and help him when they'd first met. Why he'd risked much to bring Zev back with him. He ruffled Nick's hair.
Get over there with your girlfriend before I spank you.
Ooh, promises, promises. You really shouldn't tease me like that, Grandpa. It's just so cruel.
Nick batted his eyelashes at him while he rubbed at his posterior. Caleb held his hands up in surrender.
You wound it up. It's on you now. I'm not tending that.
Zev gently pushed Nick toward Cody.
Tag, you're it.
Laughing, she shook her head.
You're all such big babies.
Nick sobered as he heard the whispering in the ether again. Louder this time. Only now, it sounded like many calling to him. Pressing his fingers to his temple, he tried to concentrate, to pull the voice in closer so that he could focus on the words themselves. As he did so, he began to see even more images. He felt a compulsion to... Cody stepped back as Nick walked past her, as if he were in a trance of some sort.
Should we be worried about that?
Caleb and Zev watched him closely. Zev stepped closer as Nick went to Manyara's altar cabinet. Without a word, he opened it and began some kind of peculiar preparations. Using a steel pestle, he slowly mixed salt and paints in one of Manyara's mortar bowls.
Not quite sure.
Caleb moved to stand beside Zev.
What's he doing? Not quite sure, he repeated.
Can he hear us?
Zev glanced down at Cody.
There's only so many times I can say not quite sure.
Nick ignored them as if they didn't exist. He went around Manyara's house, gathering items as if he lived here, which kind of made sense. She had practically raised him, and he'd spent a lot of his childhood in this home. For that matter, he'd been born on her couch. They gave him room to work, which ultimately resulted in a large summoning circle on the floor. Only then did Zev begin to appear concerned.
He's not going to do something stupid like summon a friend we hate, right?
It's Nick. Of course he's going to do something stupid. When is he not? The only way this could go worse would be if we had Mark here, helping. Cody would chastise Caleb for that, but he was right. Still, she did feel an urge to defend her boyfriend. It's not Nick's fault. Bad things happen around him. He always means well. Not helping, Cody, Nick said absently while he worked. After a few minutes, he stood in the center of the circle, lighting incense, and began to chant in a language he shouldn't know. Cody arched her brow. Is that?
That primal language? Yeah.
Caleb exchanged a shocked glance with Zev. Did one of you teach it to him?
No,
Zev scowled.
But as Malachi, he should have knowledge of all languages. That's one of his powers.
A whirlwind began to swirl in the room, slowly at first, but it quickly picked up speed. Cody reached out to catch herself against the couch. Is it supposed to be doing that? Zev shrugged. Smoke rose from the painted circle. Manyara's protection sigils glowed and thrummed like breathing beasts that had run a marathon. The light bulbs over their heads and in the lamps shattered. Cody dodged as shards rained down on them. She started for Nick, but Caleb stopped her.
You know better than to break the circle. There's no telling what harm you could do.
Just as she started to knee him and do it anyway, a bright flash blinded her. A beam of light burst through the ceiling, spreading down to engulf Nick, who stood with outstretched arms as he continued to chant. His eyes rolled back in his head before they turned a flaming red. The chanting became louder and louder, more like thunder than words. She could feel it in her chest, a second heartbeat. More white and gold light appeared in the circle around Nick. It danced and swayed, stippling the air until it began to form something solid. No, not something, someone. At first, Cody thought it was a child in Nick's arms, but as more details filled in, it became a tiny, delicate woman. One with glistening cafe au lait skin and a wealth of sister locks.
Manyara?
She breathed. Nick didn't stop chanting until she was whole. Then the light went out and the sigils on the wall dimmed. He carefully set her down so that she could stand on her own 2 feet. Using telekinesis, he yanked a blanket from the couch and into the circle and used it to cover Manyara's wet, bare body. Shaking and weak, Manyara leaned against him for support, both physical and emotional.
I wasn't sure you'd hear me, baby boo.
Nick held her.
I wasn't sure if I was doing it right.
Laughing, she patted his chest.
My little Nicholas, ever doubtful of himself. Whatever are we to do with you?
If you were smart, throw the baby out with the bathwater, toss the tub on top of him for good measure.
Caleb cleared his throat.
Is it safe to break the circle?
Yes.
Manyara stepped away from Nick and tightened the blanket around her narrow shoulders. Zev helped her toward the couch while Cody went to make her some hot tea.
What happened? Where were you? I was attacked by Mortons, who caught me unawares in my store. They were on me before I could do anything. Pulled me into the Kasitu.
Nick cocked his head.
Kasitu?
Her hand shaking, she wiped at her damp hair.
A prison of sorts where some of the worst demons to ever roam the earth had been banished.
How could they do that to you? Cody asked as she brought her a cup of tea. Manyara thanked her as she took it and cradled it in her hands.
I don't know. I've never heard of such a thing, and I didn't think I'd ever make it back. Every time I tried to call for help, I choked.
I'm still not sure how Nicholas finally heard me.
Don't give me too much credit. I barely heard you and I thought I was going crazy. Not to mention my powers have been all over the place lately.
What do you mean?
They're inconsistent, and most of the time they fade out completely.
He has a fever right now. Cody picked his arm up and held it out to her. Touch his hand, it's ice cold.
The moment Menyara did, a deep frown drew her brows together. Caleb nodded. Yeah, exactly. We've been told that Nick will have a son in the future, and we think he might have come back in time to kill us and alter time.
Menyara scowled at him. Malachi's can't time travel.
They can with help.
She passed a look to Zev that said she didn't want his reminder. Suddenly Nick's phone went off. He jumped in startled alarm. Pulling it from his pocket, he saw it was his mom. Without hesitation, he quickly answered it, because any delay could result in his mom calling out the National Guard to recover him. He really wished that was a joke. While she had yet to actually call the National Guard, she had been known to call all the local hospitals and police if he was out of touch for too long. Too long being defined as more than an hour. And since he wasn't where he was supposed to be, time to prevent a national security panic.
Hey, Ma, why aren't you at home?